Chafala from Midbeis, three lines at the top of the page. Okay, just to catch up, we didn't learn for a few weeks. In the Mishnah, 2 weeks. 1 week. In the Mishnah, it said a din that the Chachamim were stricter by Hegdish over Truma. That things which were good for Truma were not good for Hegdish. And basically, as we're going to learn in the Gemara soon, there's a difference if it's 10 things mentioned in the Mishnah or 11 things mentioned in the Mishnah. And the Gemara, two basic dinim that we have to know for the next one are two very simple dinim. When you want to table things in the mikveh, and you have one keli, one pot, inside another pot, so even though technically the water could get all over the place, and therefore technically you can table both kelim together from the Torah, and for Truma, the Mishnah said it's good, but for Hegdish, the Chachamim said such an immersion is not good. Okay, and the Gemara is going to discuss in a minute why not. But basically, if you have one pot inside another pot and you table them both together for Truma, that means they were tamei, and you have to table them in the mikveh. So for Truma, it's good. For Hegdish, it's not good. Okay. Right, because what we're afraid of, well, we're not sure yet. Meanwhile, what the Gemara is going to say is, we're afraid that because of the weight of the water in the top pot, is going to push down the pot into the other pot, and that space between the two pots, the water is not going to get into. So it's what's called a chatzitza. It's a separation between the two pots. The water is not getting into every spot. And if the water doesn't get into every spot, it's not a good immersion. Just like when a person needs to go to the mikveh, and there's dirt, or there's a cast, or there's something that doesn't allow the water to get to the finger, so then it's not a good immersion. Because you're having part of the body that is not immersed in the water. And by immersion, the Torah says, V'rochatz es kol besorei. You have to wash your entire flesh. Therefore, the din is, I'll give you an example. If somebody has a little bit of hair, let's say a lady has long hair, and is protruding a little bit out of the mikveh, even though it's only hair that you can cut, big deal, it's not a good immersion. Because anytime there's what's called a chatzitza, separation between the body of water and the thing being immersed, it's not a kosher immersion.
Men go to the mikveh, you have to be so careful.
Men, not as careful as women, or in the olden times, men had to be very careful. Like when it's a mandatory mikveh, like a ger, becoming a Jew, where it's a real, he has to be extremely careful. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Rabbi Loi Letamei, Rabbi Loi, who explained the Mishnah before, that the reason why it's no good for Kedish is because the vessel in a vessel is blocking it from getting all wet, so it's what's called a chatzitza. He goes according to his own logic. The Amr Rabbi Ila, Amr Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Rabbi Ila says the name of Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, Esem Mai Lushonu Kan. Our Mishnah mentioned 10 categories where Hegdish, Beis HaMikdash, is stricter than Truma. Chomish Rishen is the first 5. Ben Kedish, Ben Chulin, Shinas Al Teres HaKedish, whether it's for Hegdish. Or, like we learned before in the Gemara many times, Chulin, meaning everyday food, that people were very careful with, that it shouldn't become Tomei just like Hegdish. So both of them were no good. Achreinis, the last 5, Lokedish, for Kedish they're good. They're not good, I'm sorry. Avolei lechulin shenasa altaras hakedish. But for chulin that was made altaras hakedish, meaning chulin that people were strict with chulin, which is everyday food, like hegdish, it would be good. Meaning as follows. And again, we only mentioned one case. There's one more case that we didn't mention that the Mishnah is talking about. We learned in the Mishnah, if you have something and you knot it, you have a cloth, and you knot it. So the Mishnah said, for Truma, it's a good immersion, but for Hegdish, it's not a good immersion. Okay? Now, the first case of pot in pot is mentioned in the first 5 categories of the Mishnah. Not the knot and in the clothing is mentioned in the second 5 of the Mishnah. And the Gemara is discussing, aren't those two the same concept? Because when you tie a knot, why isn't it good? Because in the place where the knot is tied, the water can't get into. And therefore, part of the garment is not becoming immersed in the water, because it's blocked by the knot. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason? So he says like this. What's the difference why the first five is stricter than the last five? That the first five, whether it was chulin or hegdish, it's no good. And the last five, chulin, that was made out taras hakedush, it's good, and for hegdish not. So he says, chamesh kamaisa, the first five cases, islu drora de tuma midaraisa. Over there you're talking about a case of tuma, which is biblical tuma. And because it's biblical tuma, biblical impurity, the Chachamim were stricter, and they said it's not good for Hegdish to immerse like that, and it's not even good for Chulin, which is made like Hegdish. But Gazer Bechachu Rabbanu, so therefore the Rabbanu made it no good, Bein the Kedish, Bein the Chulin Shinasal Taras HaKedish, whether it's for Hegdish itself, or even Chulin, which people kept in the same strictness like Hegdish. Basrai said the last five, the last ludrara the tumah mideraisa, where there's no biblical tumah, so therefore no, the gozer be rabbanon. The rabbanon were stricter for kedish, but lechulin shenasa taras kedish, for chulin that was made with the same severity as kedish, like gozer be rabbanon, the rabbanon didn't make the decree. Meaning as follows, Rabbi Loi says. The reason why pot in a pot is no good and why a knot is no good is because of chatzitza, because of separation. Why the first five are stricter than the last five? So Rabbi Loi explains, because when there's biblical tumah, the chachamim were stricter. When there's rabbinic tumah, the chachamim were lenient. Therefore, in all 10 cases, hegdish is not good immersion in these cases. But chulin, everyday food that people kept with the same sanctity as hegdish, the first five because it's biblical are no good, the last five because it's rabbinic is good. Now the Gemara is coming, this is the easier Gemara. Rava answers a different answer. He says, midaseifa mishum chatzitza, the fact at the end of the Mishnah, the case when you knot the garment, is because of separation. Reisha lav mishum chatzitza. The first half of the Mishnah, meaning the pot in the pot case, is not good, not because of chatzitza, not because of separation, but because of a different reason. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. Reisha nitaima. So if so, why is a pot in a pot not a good immersion? If it's not, we're not afraid of a chatzitza because the water could get all over, so why do we say the beginning is no good? He says, Gzeira shaliyat bo machtin vitzinaitis. The Chacham made a decree that you shouldn't come to immerse needles. Tzinaitis are spinning hooks. Bekeli she'em befiv kshveiris aneid. Let me explain it then like this. And this is very, very interesting, by the way, in the laws of mikveh. Remember we learned already when we were discussing mikveh, you go to the mikveh. You're immersed in water. That water is not rainwater. The rainwater is either on the side or underneath it. Or in the pikkul mikveh, it's in both. It's underneath it and on the side. But there's a din when two bodies of water touch each other, they're connected, one gets the law of the next. So therefore, when you tevel in a mikveh, today you don't tevel in rainwater. Because they have to change the water, if not it gets stagnated. In rainwater, you don't have rain every day where you can just change rainwater every day. So what do? They have what's called a bird, a pit, or a storehouse of rainwater that they collect straight from the roof, okay? And then they have the regular mikveh that the people immerse in. That's regular water. Regular city water. But city, you need rainwater. How do you get city water? So they make a hole between the two mikvahs. One is a mikvah of rainwater, that nobody immerses in. One is a mikveh that you immerse in. When they make a hole, and the two waters, as it's called, hashaka, which literally means they kiss each other, so then the city water halachically becomes rainwater. Okay, now, the Gemara is learning over here a din. It's not the source of it, but the Gemara is learning a din over here. How big does the hole have to be? How big does a hole have to be that connects the two waters? Can you have a tiny hole that connects the two waters? Or does it have to be a certain size? So the Gemara says, the size of the hole is what's called Shvefedas Haneid. It's the size of a skin bottle's tube. That's how he translated it into English. A skin bottle tube, he says at the bottom over here, it's a leather bag for holding liquids, had a tube attached as a spout. Okay? Now, the Gemara is going to explain how big is that hole. It's two fingers that you can move around easily in the hole. Nowadays, they make the hole even bigger. They make the hole the size of a pomegranate, it says. But technically, according to Halacha, if a hole is shveferes aneid, like the tube skin, the skin bottle tube, okay, that is big enough of a hole to connect the two mikvahs. Now, what happens if somebody wants to immerse something in the mikvah? I'll give you an example. What happens if you want to immerse forks or spoons in the mikvah? So you don't want to put it into the mikvah, you're going to drop it, right? So let's say you put it into a container, and then you lower that container into the mikvah, and then the water goes in there and entables it, right? That has to be, though, an opening of that vessel that you put into the mikvah. You need to have an opening, because if not, you're not connecting it to the mikvah. It's becoming something totally separate from the mikvah. If you want to make this thing connected in the mikvah, that it should be considered part of the mikvah, it has to be a hole that big that connects the this with the mikvah water. Now, in the olden times, today we don't do it, but in the olden times, if a guy had a needle or a spinning hook, which was in the weaving process, which were tiny, that became tamei, they had to put it in the mikveh. Right? Because in the olden times, especially in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, everything had to be pure. It had to be tahor. Okay, because if you sewed with a tamei dika needle a garment, so then the garment became tamei.
So it was only for use in Beis
Hamikdash? No, it was for people that needed to be pure for whatever. Give you an example. If a person was tamei, yeah, sewed with a needle, that needle became tamei, right? If that needle became tamei, touched food, that food became tamei.
Isn't it a minimum size or something?
Yeah, but because a needle is a whole thing, it could become tamei. Okay, so now, what's the problem? The problem is the chachamim were afraid. Now, when you need to table needles, yeah, you could use a tiny vessel to table a needle, because it's so tiny. What were the Chachamim afraid? You might put a needle into a tiny vessel that doesn't have this two-finger opening, and you're going to table the needle like that in the water, and it's not going to be a kosher immersion. So therefore, the Chachamim said, any pot in a pot for Hegdish is no good. But not because of Chatzitza. Rabbi Loi, before in the Gemara, said, you know why a pot in a pot is no good? Because it's a separation. Because when the water goes into the top pot, it pushes the top pot into the bottom pot, it's touching each other on the bottom, and that area where the two pots are touching, they're not going to be able to table. The water is not getting in there. So it's not going to be kosher. But Rava comes along and says, that's not the reason. The reason why a pot in a pot is no good, because the Chachamim say, if we allow a guy to table pots in a pot, a guy's going to table a needle in a tiny pot that doesn't have Shveferes Aneid, that hole size which connects it to the mikveh, and then you're tevilling this needle in a non-mikveh situation. And it's not kosher. Because to connect, as he's quoting the Baisu, we'll soon see, in order to combine mikvahs, you need to have a hole the size of Shefer HaSaneid, the Gemara is going to explain, which is the size of two fingers moving around easily. Otherwise, it's not going to be good.
Because of the
Takana,
you can't put anything inside anything.
Well, this is for Hegdish. The Mishnah is for Hegdish. For Truma, it's also good. So today, it would be different. In fact, the Gemara is soon going to discuss about tabling things in a net. Like in a strainer with a lot of little holes. Because it's also connected. You know, the question is, how, is that called connected or not? Because the holes are not big, really. It's tiny holes. So he says, so what are we afraid of? V'rei shayin atayim, we'll see it again in the Gemara. V'rei shayin atayim, the reason in the beginning why it's no good, gzeida, we're afraid, shleyat bo machte v'tzineis, we don't want a person to table needles and hooks, bekeli shein befiv k'shfeferes aneit, inside a vessel which is not shfeferes aneit. And therefore wouldn't be good. Why? K'tananik, we learned in the Mishnah, eid of mikvois, in order to combine two mikvis, it has to be k'shfeferes aneit, only the connection of the size of this skin bottle's tube. And it says, what does it mean? Shefares and Nave, Ku'uvya, like its thickness, Ukhalol, and the size of the hole, which is Shtei Etzbois, Chazrusim Kaiman, two fingers worth that could go in, rotate inside of it. Meaning as follows. What the Gemara says, if you have a, give me a cup a second. Okay, thanks. If this is the size of the opening, the question is, you count the size of the hole, or including the width of the vessel too? So the Gemara says, what is Shefefer HaSaneid, like the tube of this bottle? It means the whole of it, plus the wall of it. Which together, the Gemara says, how much is it? This is much bigger. Two fingers that can rotate easily inside the hole. So if you want to connect two mikvahs together, and for instance, it's also known, what happens if you have one mikvah that's 40 saw, one mikvah that's 20 saw, but they're connected with this hole? It's like both mikvahs have 40 saw. Or like we said in our case, rainwater in one, sink water in another. How do you make the mikvahs kosher? By the hole of Shefer HaSaneid, so it makes the city water rainwater.
The rainwater always dominates?
Because because if this is kosher, the connection with that size hole makes this also kosher. What do you mean?
Is it both flat on the ground and the water is like somewhat stabilized, that's plenty of direction, is that okay? Is that one of you higher than the other?
Well, when water is next to each other, water finds its own level. So it's always going to be the same size. Yeah, but if you ever see, water by nature will automatically reach to keep the same level as another water. You ever look at a percolator? You know, sometimes you have the spot outside to show you how much water is left, right? That level of the water outside is the same level as the water inside, right? That's how you tell, right? Now, how does that happen? The chiddush, why isn't one higher than the other one lower? Because there's a rule in physics that water always finds its own level. So when you have two bodies of water, okay, even with the wall separating them, but you have a hole in the wall, the water will always stay at the same level. One water will not be higher than the next.
Previously, you learned about three different as if they're on a hill of different levels.
Right. But that's over there because it's mamish on a hill.
And water's coming down.
Yeah, but there's a surface. I mean, water on the second floor is not going to come to the level of the first floor,
right,
obviously. But here we're talking two mikvahs next to each other, right? Like you ever go in the Pico Mikveh, right? You have the water your table, and then in the wall there's a big hole. Okay? Now if you stick your hand in the hole, okay, there's water in the hole. If you stick your hand to the end of the hole, you'll feel another body of water. Okay? That's the rainwater. And if you stick your hand all the way in to the rainwater, you're going to feel that it's colder than the sink water. Because the mikveh water is heated. And that rainwater stays cold.
Oh, what if that water in the mikveh, the level of the table comes below the hole?
Right.
And if there's no water underneath, for instance. So what happens? Does that become nullified? Do you have to redo it?
No, as long as at one time...
At one time where?
What happens if the waters did mix? Okay, and then somebody took pails and emptied out the mikveh, let's say. And now it's below the hole. As long as you have 40 sol left, the fact that it, to use expression, means it kissed once, so then it became rainwater. Technically, at that time, even if you emptied out the rainwater, for that crazy reason, that rainwater, that the city water, it's still in the mikveh now, but the fact that it kissed the rainwater made it into rainwater. You don't need it constant. Some people, it's interesting, in the mikveh we don't have stoppers, you know, but certainly in New York, certain mikvehs have stoppers. Okay? So some guys, when they come into the mikveh, will take out the stopper, that the water should touch each other when they're tabling. And other people, dafka, stuff the stopper up, because they don't want any water leaking out. You know, because a mikveh that leaks is not a good mikveh, even though it's not leaking anywhere. It's leaking into itself. But in our mikveh, we don't have any stoppers for that. But once the mikveh is touched, so they became good. But Rav is afraid that if you're going to allow a pot in a pot, we're not afraid of chatzitza, because the water does get underneath it. What we're afraid of is a guy might make a mistake and start tovling needles or things, meaning small objects, in kelmet that then have it, and it's not going to be good. Okay, now the Gemara says, Gemara continues. And the Gemara says, Savala Baha, in this din, Rava holds, like Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu. Like Rav Nachman, who said it in the din in the name of Rabba Baravu. What did he say? That achas esri mailu shanukan. Not like Rav Eloi, how there are 10 things mentioned in the Mishnah. He said, no, there's 11. Sheish rishenis, the first 6. Ben lekedish, ben lechulin, shenas al taras hakedish. Like you said before, the first 6 apply both to hegdish or to chulin that is made al taras hakedish. Achreinis, the last 5, lekedish, apply only to kedish, but not to chulin, which is made al taras hakedish. Basically, the same thing like Rav Eloi said, except he counted 11 and he counted 10. So Gemara asks, my ikur ben Rav le Rav Eloi. So what difference is there between the two? So Gemara says as follows: ikur ben Rav, the difference in halacha between them would be as follows: sal vegargusni, a basket or a large strainer, shemilim kelim vidvilim. What happens if a guy took a big basket or big strainer, okay, and put a bunch of kelim in it to tevel? Would that immersion be good? Well, if the reason why a pot in a pot is no good, because by touching each other, the water is not getting in there, so a strainer and kelim would be the same thing. The strainer has holes, but it also has metal. Right? They didn't have plastic in those days, but it doesn't matter anyway. It doesn't really matter. No, if you hold it to chatzitza, the first opinion said you can't put a vessel in a vessel because the two vessels touch and in that area water doesn't get in. Right? So if you have a big net or a big strainer, which is a bunch of little holes, but there's also metal, right? And then you put one kelim inside, a bunch of kelim in there. See, if you know, the reason is because the metal, that touching metal, will not allow the water to go in, it wouldn't be a good immersion in that case. But if you hold because of the whole story, it's a big hole. It's a lot of holes. So you have plenty of room there. Because a basket, the opening of the strainer, or the basket, has a wide opening. Right? The big strainer has a wide opening on top. Or a big basket has a wide opening more than two fingers. So then the immersion would be good. In other words, when the Mishnah said, a pot in a pot is not good. So there's two reasons why we said before it wasn't good. One reason is because the pot is touching the pot and the water will not get in there. That same thing will apply by a strainer. The second reason, because you might table things in that are not a hole big enough, but this is a very big hole. So then it would be good. The Gemara says, that's the difference between the two opinions. The Gemara says, my Ika ben Rava le Rabbi Loi. So Gemara says as follows, Ika ben Ayo, the difference is, Salva gargusni, a big basket, or a large strainer, shemilim kem, that you filled up with kelim, ved bilim, and you table them in the mikveh. So, leman di amar mishum chatzitza, the reason, like Rabbi Loi, who said the reason is because it's a chatzitza, Ika in this case, it's also no good. Because the kelim are still touching the strainer. In the place where the kelim touch the strainer, it's no good. Leman di yomar mishum gzeira shemiyat bo machtim v'tzineiris bekeli shem befiv kshveira sanayit. But according to the second opinion, Rava, who says you can't table it, because we might table something, needles that are not in a keli that's shveira sanayit, he says, salve gagusi she'ein befihem kshveira sanayit. Where they don't have the problem of Shefaveris Haneid, lack of this whole problem doesn't exist. And therefore you would be allowed to table them, and it would be a good immersion. And the Gemara says another thing. Va'az de Rava l'tamei, and Rava Taka goes according to his logic. What did Rava say? The Amar Rava said, Salve gargusni, this basket and this strainer, Shemilim kelim, that were full of kelim, Ve'etvilim, and you tabled them, Tahar, it's good. It's a good immersion. But, mikveh shechelku besar v'gagusni, what happens though, if you split a mikveh in half with a strainer? In modern day language, you took a screen and cut a mikveh, put it in the middle of the mikveh. And you divide it up to 40 so into two. That wouldn't be a good immersion then. If you tabled a person, in that mikveh wouldn't be good. Why? Hatevel sham. If you table there, they also lay tefillah is not going to be a good immersion. Why not? Because the ara kula chalchuli mechalchala. The entire ground is porous. Yet, I'll explain in a second. Yet be'in an ikar boim sar b'mokim echad. You need the 40 so in one place. This is an interesting concept. L'cha'era, any place, somewhere in the world, the ocean is 40 sa, right? The whole earth is porous. Right? So why can't you table in any water of 20 sa? Because the earth is like a screen which divides it to the ocean, which is 40 sa. Yet we know it's no good. Why? Because you need 40 sa in one place. You need 40 saw in one place. The problem is, if you're going to put a screen down the middle, that screen doesn't have a big hole in it. There's no shveferet sanayit in the screen. So what's connecting the two mikvahs? It's not going to be good. But if you immerse kelim in such a mikvah, it is going to be good. Why? Because the opening on top of the strainer is shveferet sanayit. This is the strainer. So it's full of holes. Right? But this opening is shveferet sanayit. So you could table kelim in the strainer. But if you can take a strainer and divide a mikveh with it, there is no one hole in the strainer that's two fingers big. Unless you make a hole in the strainer, but you didn't. So then it wouldn't be good. Because you need 40 saw in one place. What makes two things in one place? If there's a hole 2 fingers big. That's going to connect both mikvahs to make it good.
Just dividing a mikvah, the first opinion would hold the same thing.
No, everybody would agree to this din. Well, Rabbi for sure says the din. Rabbi Loi would probably agree to it also in concept.
So how does this...
But he holds a different reason. He says you can't put a pot in a pot because it's a chatzitza. So it's not going to get the water, it's not going to get all over the place. But Rava holds, in other words, you can only connect 2 bodies of water if there's a hole 2 fingers wide. Now, it's really more than 2 fingers because it says you have to be able to rotate the 2 fingers. Okay? So they usually try to make at least a tefach or even more. Because sometimes the hole may get stuffed up and then you don't have a connection, whatever. Especially in the olden times. Today it's less problematic because today nothing stuffs up the holes. To connect 2 bodies of water to make it kosher.
Is
there a bathroom size? No. Excellent size. Then for sure it's 1 body of water. But if you have a kosher mikveh and a non-kosher mikveh, the only way the non-kosher mikveh could become kosher if it's connected to the kosher mikveh, at least with a minimal hole, the 2 fingers big. So therefore the Gemara says, if you take a mikveh and put a screen, which is full of holes, smack down in the middle of the mikveh, you basically divided the mikveh into 2 non-kosher mikvehs, and the fact that there's a lot of holes connecting the water is no good, because no hole is big enough, as big as 2 fingers, and only 2 fingers can connect, connect the two.
If we don't have 80 saw.
Yeah, you're right. If you have 80 saw and you stick it down the middle, then you have 40 saw in each side.
You're talking about a small.
If you have either 40 saw exactly, or 60 saw, and you divided the mikveh exactly in half, so it's 30 and 30, so it's also not good.
Saw is like a gallon?
No.
More?
40 saw is like 95 gallons. It's over 2 gallons per saw. It's 27 cubic feet of water, approximately. 40 saw is 2 feet by 2 feet by 6 feet. No, I'm sorry, it's 24 cubic feet. 27. 2 by 2, amma by an amma by 3 ammas. So 6 by 2 by 2. It's 24 cubic feet of water. It's approximately like 95 gallons. But when they build mikvahs today, they build them like we learned double amounts. Because you have evaporation. No, they build mikvahs today with usually 200 gallons minimum per mikvah. And then they usually build, you know.
How much big wide feet do you need for
kosher? 40 saw that we just said, 24 cubic feet of water. About 95 gallons.
So almost half.
Of what?
Like the 4 mikvahs?
No, I'm saying that's the minimal size of a mikvah of rainwater, but they usually put double the amount to make sure they always have the proper amount. The double the amount of water that you need. Because water evaporates.
How much rainwater is it, say, the city water?
Nothing.
You're just touching, right?
Just touching.
Okay.
They kissed once. I mean, like we said, the word Hashaka means they kissed once.
It lasts a long time then, the rainwater.
They don't change the rainwater often.
Yeah.
Unless if you live in a city where it rains a lot. You know how much rain you need to get 200 gallons of water in one? You need a lot of rain. And then if you have, let's see, and the Pico mikveh, yeah? There's 3 mikvahs. 3, okay? Now each one of those 3 has rainwater on the side and rainwater underneath. And each one is double. Okay, that means is approximately 80 saw underneath the 3 of them. That's 240 saw. Plus another 240 saw because they have double amounts on the side.
So where do you get the rainwater from?
From the heaven.
Oh,
So they don't change the rainwater that often. And when they change the rainwater is when they're expecting a massive storm. Because don't forget, in order to get rainwater, and to get rainwater, how do you get the rainwater to the mikveh? You get, there's not so simple drain pipes. Because, like we learned, if you have a rain pipe that goes at a right angle, right? In this corner, where the two angles meet, that's a keli, it's holding water. So you have to make it in a way that the rain pipe doesn't go like this. These are the rain pipes, right? You need to make it go like this. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If you have a rain pipe like this, okay? A pipe, yeah? Picture a pipe. Right? Those plastic pipes, yeah? In that corner, it's a keli. It can hold water. Right? And this just qualifies the rainwater. So what they do is, they like on the Pico Mikveh, they have a few holes in the, they have three holes in the roof for the drains. Okay? Now normally when it rains on your roof, there's a drain pipe. Otherwise, rain's going to gather on the roof, mm-hmm. right? And it's going to ruin your roof, right. Unless you have a roof that goes down like this. But if you have a flat roof, you have a drain pipe, right? Yeah. Now, what happens? The roof is made at a slight angle. Every roof is made with a, even though it's flat roof, but it has to be made at a slight angle. Otherwise, the water's going to stay there, and you're going to have holes in your roof. So the roof is made at a slight angle, and the water, therefore, flows down. All you need is a very slight angle. The water flows down to the drain pipe and goes down and out into this, to the street, right, or the alley, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, when they want to collect the rainwater, instead of taking the drain pipe out to the street, they divert the rainwater with specially made pipes, okay, that come down certain materials and at right, not, no right angles, just at an angle like this, that it goes into the mikvahs. Right? But if you have three mikvahs of rainwater, and each one has rainwater underneath and rainwater on the side, and each one of those is double, okay? So you're talking, let's say, let's make it easy. You need 100 gallons of water for one mikvah, right? Each mikvah has 400 gallons of rainwater, because each one is double, and you have one in the bottom of each one and one on the side of each one. Right? So it's 400 per mikvah. 400 gallons. So then to fill up all three mikvahs, you need 1,200 gallons of water.
So how did you fill it up initially?
We don't fill all three at the same time.
Snow from...
No, that was... But that would change right away. They didn't use snow. They basically created for rain. So when it rains... But you have another problem, like we learned.
You're talking about the one of Pico by...
The Jewish one, yeah.
No, I'm talking about the one of Pico, but everybody uses, right?
Yeah, the Jews, yeah, the Jews, yeah.
Everybody uses that one.
Yeah.
Not the one... You have a separate one, or you guys use the same one everybody else uses?
No, that's the Jewish one. Everybody uses ours.
Okay.
All those people that think they're Jewish,
yeah.
They use the Chabad one.
Oh, okay.
So, you need to collect, to fill all those mikvahs, you need to collect, what did we just figure out?
240.
No, 1,200 gallons of water. Okay? So they can't fill up all the mikvahs from one rain. Right?
Yeah.
So, it's a lot.
They go someplace else to get the rainwater?
Yeah, they go up on top of the clouds and blow on them.
So like Portland, Seattle, New York.
How are you going to get the rain here?
Well, you bring them in by truck.
Truck.
Right?
Now you can't do it.
They can bring natural rain by truck.
No, you can't because that's a vessel.
Yes, a vessel. I heard they did that for certain
mitzvahs. No, not rainwater. What they did, they brought snow. Uh-huh. Now, because, but you know what it is? You know how much snow you need?
Four times, right?
To get a gallon of water?
Yeah.
Snow is very light. Yeah. It's not dense. So when snow melts, you get nothing, yeah. Right? But the problem is, once you, let's say, shovel snow with a shovel, once rainwater touches a vessel, goes into a vessel, it's already not rainwater. Okay? Now, if you shovel, a shovel is a vessel. Right? So if you're shoveling snow, so the second it goes into the shovel, it's not kosher anymore. So you need special shovels. What's a shovel? A special shovel. You need to have shovels with holes in them. Because then it's not a vessel, because it can't hold any liquid. Right? So you dig with shovels that have, that make holes in, a lot of holes in them. And then, what do you put the snow into? You can't, but if you put snow into a freezer truck, because obviously if you don't have a freezer truck, it's going to melt 3 minutes after you leave the mountains. Mm-hmm. If you put it in a freezer truck, the bottom of the truck is a vessel. It holds things. So what do you have to do? You have to put them into milk crates that have holes at the, you know, those milk crates, the plastic ones that have holes at the bottom, because then it's not a keli. But even if you put that on the floor of the truck, it's still a problem because the floor of the truck is closing it. So then again, it becomes a keli. So you have to put them on those boards, you know, whatever.
2x4.
Whatever they do. Whatever, you know, they use, what they call them? The crates, yeah? There's a name for them, whatever. I don't know, whatever.
Pallets,
yeah. So, and you have to make sure that the holes are not closing up on the wood. And then you have to bring it. So you know how much snow you need? Can you imagine how many shifts of snow you need?
Technically, but if you have one mikvah, then you can make a lot more. You just put in sink water, connect them, and...
No. It's a good point. You can't connect sink water to rainwater, and then that sink water cannot make the other thing rainwater. The sink water becomes rainwater by itself, but it cannot make other sink water rainwater.
But then it's rainwater.
Yeah, but it doesn't have that din. It has din of rainwater for itself, but not, you can't clone it. you can't use this to make another mikveh kosher. That you can't do. That powerful, it's not.
I have a question about the vessel. How do you define a vessel? Because like you said, taking a shovel and shoveling with holes in it, discounts it, that makes it not a vessel. So what's the definition?
Anything that can hold liquid in it is not a vessel.
But, so it has to be over a certain given period of time because it can hold liquid.
No, it can't.
Okay, it can hold snow.
But snow is not a liquid form yet. It could hold a book too. I mean, if you put a book on a shovel with a hole in it, it's going to hold it. But that's not the definition of a vessel. It has to be able to hold liquid.
Okay. And my other question, please, I'm sorry, we came late. Maybe you already said it. But what is the whole idea about the pipes being at an angle so they're not a vessel?
Right.
What is the constitution of that water? What is so important of that?
Because rainwater has to come to the mikveh in its natural state.
So the moment it sits in a vessel, it's
not in its natural state anymore, and it's not kosher.
How if hail comes down and then it drops into rainwater?
Hail falls into mikveh, it's rain. Hail is rain, it's frozen rain.
There's hail here.
There may be a lot of hell here, but not hail.
When the snow is on the ground on the mountains, it doesn't matter.
The earth is not a keli. And when it rains in the ocean, or waters in the ocean, it's not that's earth. The earth is not a keli. In fact, the truth is, there's a din by mikveh, and they do this in the mikvehs too. That if you have sink water, I'm using especially city water, but you know, what's called Mayim Shuvim, and it flows on the ground, 3 tefachim, 12 inches, it technically becomes rainwater again. So what they do is when they have a tour of the mikveh, when they have the city water goes through the filter. Right? Now, the sink water is now halachically rainwater, right? Because it touched the rainwater. But then the filter takes it out to filter it. When the water goes through a filter, it's going through a vessel again. Right? So it's really becoming non-rainwater again. Right? But before it goes back into the mikveh, what they do is, they have a cement trough, which is much more than 12 inches, make it a few feet, and the water comes out of the filter, the filtered water, goes over the cement trough, which is earth, cement is earth, and that itself halachically makes the water into rainwater. Then it goes from the trough into the rainwater on the side, and from the rainwater on the side, it goes back into the mikveh that it left. So the whole process of re-koshering that water, really, much more than the halach itself would demand. What? When they filter the system. So, but the filtered water becomes a vesseled water. So it's not kosher anymore. It's not rainwater anymore. So how do you re-kosher that water? You have a trough, and then not only that, but when it leaves the trough, it goes into the side rainwater. So it's touching again the rainwater, and then it goes back into the hole between the two mikvahs. So it comes like that.
So how do you get the water better?
Can you make your mikvah like that?
What do you mean?
I mean, through that process of going over the trough?
Yeah, but that's...
Like in the desert where there's never rain and
you don't do that, only.
The mikvah in Vegas, there's never rains in Vegas. How do they get rainwater there? There never rains in Vegas.
Everybody stands together and they cry. And then they get enough water.
Not that many days.
When it rains, it rains.
It rains. A lot of these places change the water. I'll tell you the truth. We don't change the rainwater here very often. It's a big hassle to change the rainwater. Because when you change the rainwater, we learned already before in the Gemara, that if you have three lugim, a lug is 12 ounces of water, approximately. So 36 ounces of city water, that's in a hole, and then rainwater comes in, is going to disqualify that whole rainwater. So when you empty out the rainwater pit that's underneath the mikveh, you have to dry it out. Because 36 ounces over a large area is not a lot of water, if you think about it. So they have to sit there with shmatis, and they have to get fit. You can't breathe down there. I was down there a few times. You can't breathe down there. And you have to dry it, empty it out. You have to pump out, let's say you want to change the rainwater, right? You have to pump out all the rainwater. Then you have to dry it out completely with towels.
Why? You can't have a little?
No, because we have 36 ounces. Not a lot.
Yeah, but
it's over a big period area of water.
Dry it?
You have to dry it with towels, and then you have to blow, take fans down there, and to blow it dry also.
Wow.
So it takes a lot of time. Besides the fact, you know how cruddy that rainwater is. It's dirty, stagnated. It's dirty. You don't see it when you travel in the water. The water is spotlessly clean. Right? But the rainwater isn't. Because how often do you change the rainwater? And you need a big rain.
Bleach?
Yeah, they add chlorine to the water, sure. There is that chlorine to the water. Huh?
That doesn't affect anything.
Chlorine doesn't... If you have a mikveh that you put... coloring into. If you add a lot of milk to a water to mikveh or wine, it changes the color of the mikveh. It's not a kosher mikveh. Dirt is not a problem. A mikveh could be filthy, dirty. It's not a problem. But if you put wine, but bleach doesn't change the color of the water because you look at the water. It's not. It's colorless. It just cleans it. It doesn't.
It clouds it.
It doesn't change the color of it. You ever go to New York and pour a cup of water? You ever go to New York and pour a cup of water? Do you know it's cloudy for the first few seconds? That's the natural color of water. Huh? Yeah, it goes away. I don't know what it's here, I think. I don't know what it is. What?
Can we check this next here? Can we check it to see if it's still showing?
It's just some time for the next class.
I'm sorry, yeah.
Should we check it?
How do you